Also in the spring, they have their Firefly Festival. That's in May. Now, we have not been to that. That's another thing on my bucket list. I would love to see.
You have the Firefly Festival in your wish bucket.
Is that right?
Could I see the bucket before we plan the next trip? I'd like to.
You don't want to go see them? I guess they all come out.
No, I just like to know what's in the bucket, because I think sometimes items fall in the bucket before they're fully approved.
This is the Dear Bob and Sue podcast, stories from our journey to all the U.S. national parks and other public lands. I'm Karen Smith.
And I'm Matt Smith. We're the authors of the Dear Bob and Sue series of books. We get a lot of questions from people asking us what parks they should visit during specific times of the year. In today's episode, we're going season by season, talking about parks that are great to visit during these times of the year.
63 national parks from Southern California to Northern Maine, and every single one of them has an optimal time to visit. We'll be breaking it down by the four seasons: winter, spring, summer, and fall, taking into account things like weather, wildflowers, fall foliage, snow levels, and crowds, to name a few.
Hopefully, this will help you narrow down your choices when you're planning your next spring break destination, summer vacation, or fall getaway.
Before we get started on today's topic, I want to do a quick gear review.
I like gear. I know. What do you got for us today?
Well, Matt, this gear is only for women. I'm sorry to tell you.
Are you getting paid to do this?
No. Okay. I just wanted to share this new thing that I found for women. It's useful, and I think women will love it like I do. So back in our 10 Essentials episode, I talked about carrying toilet paper in my backpack along with a baggie to pack out the used toilet paper. But now there's a new option.
Wow, I can't wait. What's the new option?
You look so excited.
Yeah.
So for my birthday a month ago, one of my girlfriends gave me a Kula cloth, and Kula is spelled K-U-L-A. This is for women. It's a reusable pee cloth. I know. Just hang on. So over the last month, I've had a chance to use it, and just really quickly, it's about 5 by 5 inches square. On one side of the fabric, it's absorbent antimicrobial fabric, and on the other side, it's waterproof fabric. So that's on the side that you're holding it, so your hand doesn't get wet.
Okay, I already have a few questions, but this has gone on way longer than I wanted it to, so okay. I'll just hold them,
right.
Which is please. Also yeah. an option Ask. If you're in the wilderness.
No, not always. Now, this Kula cloth has a double snap, so you can attach it to the outside of your backpack, which is genius, because if it's wet, then it can air dry.
Okay, what does this look like? I need to know, just in case I see a double snap piece of fabric.
Yeah, look at my backpack. It's hanging on the outside. So then this little genius piece of fabric is hand washable while you're traveling. You could wash it in your hotel sink.
We're not doing that.
Hey, I've seen you wash your underwear in a hotel sink, so well, I don't want to hear about that. You can also...
That was necessary.
You can also throw it in your washing machine with your hiking clothes at the end of a hike, like I do.
Okay, what does this thing look like? I want to know if it keeps coming out in my loads of laundry. We'll have to have a new laundry schedule.
This Kula cloth costs around $20. They have their own website where you can purchase it, or I also saw it on REI's website. I'm sure other places sell it as well. So here's the thing. As we were hiking this summer, I saw used toilet paper everywhere.
We see it on almost every hike we do.
I know. So this, it's something we can all do. It's a small part we can all play to help save the environment and not leave little piles of toilet paper in our wilderness places. Anyway, check it out, ladies. I love it. Again, it's the Kula cloth. And I guess for all the men listening, this would be a really nice little gift for your significant other.
Get your wife 6 of them and she can use them as napkins next time you have friends over for dinner. And then after dinner, you could, they'll be like party gifts. Everyone could take them home and you could explain it to them. And then they'll never come over to your house for dinner ever again.
I like the way you're thinking, Matt. All right. Well, let's get started on today's topic.
Karen, what is this episode about?
This episode is about which parks are optimal to go to during which seasons. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I thought it was seasons of life. Like, what would our season of life be? This is the fall. Like, this is, are we in a nice fall day, or is it, we still in summer?
No, late summer? Honey, I think we've moved on to winter. We're in December 22nd.
I don't think so. To me, it's still late summer, and I have my flip-flops on. I don't know what season you're in, but you know, all the national parks are open year-round. There are some exceptions, like Isle Royale, that close in the winter. So we'd encourage people to explore all times of the year. You know, most parks are open all year-round.
That's right. So the purpose of this is, you know, let's say you would like to go on spring break with your kids and you're wondering what parks are good to go to during spring break. Hopefully this episode will help you kind of decide, and maybe there'll be a park on our list that you haven't thought of before.
Yeah, and there are certain parks that are great all year round, and we'll mention those as we go through the seasons. But the organization of this episode is we'll go season by season, talk about those different seasons and some of our favorite parks and suggestions for that particular season. So
that's right. And to be fair, I have included every single national park. All 63 are somewhere on this list.
Very good. All right. Well, let's start in winter. And in the winter season, we'll talk about some of the warm weather parks that are warm during the winter.
Right. Because let's face it, most people who live in cold and snowy climates would like to get away someplace warm, right? I know we do.
Yeah. Like Florida.
Yeah.
And in Florida, you got Dry Tortugas, which is one of my favorite parks. Mm-hmm. It's out in the middle of nowhere in the Gulf of Mexico. And Biscayne, which is right by Miami, and Everglades, which is essentially the whole southern tip of Florida.
Three great parks. You could take at least a week. Spend a couple days in each park. It will be warm down there in southern Florida in the winter. And then adding on to that, which is what we did, if you're all the way down there, we would also tack on the Virgin Islands, Virgin Islands National Park.
Yeah, well, just one note there. Hurricane season in the Virgin Islands is June through November. And of course...
Yeah, when did we go, Matt? When did you book that trip?
We went there in November.
Why?
To save money.
And what happened?
There was a hurricane. Our umbrellas turned inside out. But I think as we wrote in our book, Dear Bob and Sue, that was one of our favorite hikes.
Yeah.
We hiked from where we were staying at Keneal Bay Resort to the visitor center. And I think we hiked through a torrential river.
We did. It was a jungle, actually, with a river. The nice thing about it is it was quite warm and tropical. So even though we were drenched, you know, we weren't cold at all because I think it was probably 85 degrees and very humid. But yeah, a great time to go in the winter. I think December through March would be a fantastic time to go to the Virgin Islands.
And then there's American Samoa, which is the only piece of the United States south of the equator. It's 82 degrees year round.
We went in December. Weather was great.
It's 82 degrees.
Yeah, as you pointed out, all year round. But that's a very tropical getaway for the winter. And speaking of tropical getaways, if you're going to American Samoa, you will be flying through Hawaii. So you might as well stop and visit the two Hawaii national parks.
Hawaii Volcanoes on the Big Island and Haleakala, which is on Maui. Now, Haleakala, even though it's in Hawaii, it can be cold and windy at the top. So if you're going there, take a sweatshirt or a jacket with you. We made this mistake. We got up there and almost froze to death.
That's right. You'll definitely need some kind of warm layers up there. And it also can be very windy. But boy, that would be a fantastic winter trip. American Samoa and the two Hawaii parks. What more could you want? Palm trees, sun, fruity coconut drinks.
Fruity coconut drinks. And we can't forget Death Valley. That's a great winter getaway. Because January averages about 68 degrees, and February is about 75 degrees. Now, the lows at night will be in the 40s.
Yeah, you definitely need a jacket.
But the days are beautiful in the winter in Death Valley.
They are beautiful. Great hiking weather. We usually, I think we've gone in January, we've gone in February, and we've gone in March, and all have been absolutely beautiful. So Death Valley in California is a great place to go.
Now, switching gears a little bit, we'll talk about the snowy parks in the winter.
Yellowstone and Grand Tetons. Those are two of our favorite places to visit in the winter. Definitely snowy. Now, a lot of the roads are closed. Access is limited, but you can see both of these parks on snowmobile tours. They also have other tours too, like wildlife tours and photography tours, and we would highly recommend it.
We've been to Yellowstone and Grand Teton a couple of times in the winter. It can be cold, but they're great parks. For those of you who like to snowshoe, cross-country ski, sled, or just sit by a roaring fire and sip on some whiskey.
I thought you were going to say sip on some hot cocoa.
No, it's just whiskey.
Most people visit these parks in the summer. That's where you have the traffic jams and the crowds of people. But in the winter, these parks are magical. Few people, the animals come out, no traffic jams.
Right. We even rented a Forest Service cabin just north of Yellowstone 1 year. And stayed there for a few nights and went into the park, and that was a great experience.
But if you prefer to stay somewhere that has heat and a bathroom, in Yellowstone, there are two lodges open in the winter, Mammoth Hot Springs Hotel and Old Faithful Snow Lodge.
Moving a bit north to northern Montana, you have Glacier National Park.
Glacier has somewhat limited access. The roads are closed past Lake McDonald Lodge. So basically, if you want to see the park in the winter in Glacier, you're going on foot, you're going on snowshoes, or you're cross-country skiing. And all of the in-park lodges are closed. But it's still a beautiful place to visit. We rented a Forest Service cabin just outside the park.
That's another place we like to do our annual Forest Service cabin trip. Mm-hmm. And stay close to the park and then do our snow activities in the park.
That's right. And the cute little town of Whitefish is right outside the park, and they have a skiing. I was going to say skiing hill. It's more than a hill.
They have a mountain. Yeah, there's a ski resort right north of Whitefish.
Right. So you could make a whole trip out of some skiing and some snowshoeing in the park, and it's just beautiful up there in the winter.
So most people wouldn't think of California as a snowy winter destination, but Lassen Volcanic National Park in Northern California is around 6,700 feet, and it's a great place to visit in the winter.
It is. Now, snowmobiles are not allowed inside the park, but you can snowshoe and ski. I read that they get up to 30 feet of snow November through May, so definitely a lot of winter recreation up there.
And the visitor center is open, right? The one in the southwest area?
Yeah, that's open all year round. And I believe they have some ranger-led snowshoe tours on the weekends. It's all on their website, so check that out. But another great place to visit in the winter.
We haven't been there in the winter, but we've heard a lot of good things about it. So that's got to go in your bucket.
That's right. That's
something we got to do.
Definitely.
Another thing in your bucket, I know because you keep telling me this over and over, is to see Sequoia and Kings Canyon, also in California, in the snow.
Yes, that is a dream of mine, is to see the giant sequoias covered in snow and to walk amongst those trees. Now, two of the lodges in those parks are open in the winter. You have Wuxachi Lodge in Sequoia, and you also have John Muir Lodge in Kings Canyon. Those are both open. So you can stay there, you can snowshoe in the park. And if for some reason you plan this trip and there isn't any snow, there's great hiking.
It's still a great park to visit.
Right. Still go and see the giant trees.
So if you're going to go, check the road conditions because those parks are at elevation. I mean, they're over 7,000 feet. So
yeah, a lot of winding roads. And in these winter parks, you almost always have to have chains with you or on your tires, either one. Now, in our home state of Washington, you have Mount Rainier. We love to go to Mount Rainier, to the Paradise area. It's always very snowy. We snowshoe there. People go sledding there. The problem is, for anyone planning a trip from out of state, is that sometimes in the winter, the only road up to paradise is closed. They close the gate because of avalanche danger, or the snowfall is just too heavy and they can't get it plowed.
Yeah, that Paradise Lodge is not open because it can literally be under 80 feet of snow. The drifts are pretty high up there, but the National Park Inn in Longmire is open, and and we've stayed there several times. We love to drive up to Paradise in the winter, but we have had trips where they've closed the gate right there at Longmire because, well, the last time we were there, they got 3 feet of snow one day, and they were taking care of avalanche dangers on the road. So I love that park in the winter. If you can get up to Paradise, it's a fantastic place to snowshoe, and they have a little sledding hill. It's not always open, but when it is, it's great for kids to sled.
That's right. And we should mention that that is the only area of Mount Rainier National Park that's open in the winter to cars. Of course, you know, if you're on your own, you can certainly snowshoe in wherever you like. But if you're driving, that Longmire and Paradise area is the only place that's open.
How about Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado?
Oh, how about that?
That would be a good winter snowy park.
We actually haven't ever been there in the winter, but no. I would love to visit.
Another thing in the bucket.
Yep. In the winter, there are fewer visitors. Many of the park roads stay open, and it's a great time to look for elk, moose, and other large mammals.
And like the other parks we mentioned, you can sled, snowshoe, and cross-country ski.
I would imagine it to be a magical place there in the winter.
So is that it for our snowy parks in the winter?
That is it. Of course, there are others, but some of the others appear on different places on my list.
So. All right. So let's move on. Let's move on to spring. And what are some of our favorite parks and things to do in the national parks in springtime?
Well, let's start off with Joshua Tree in Southern California. I'm recommending spring because the wildflowers are incredible and the temperatures are mild. I would not recommend winter.
Well, we went there. Yes. We tried that. We went there in February. We rented a little pull-behind trailer and camped in Joshua Tree and froze in our little trailer at night.
Oh my gosh, it was so cold and so windy.
Well, it was windy, and I thought, well, we'll just close the trailer up and our body heat will keep us warm. The problem is you can't get rid of the humidity in there if you don't have ventilation. So we had to open the vents to keep the condensation from building up. And so it's cold. And I wore every single layer of clothes that I had brought with me to stay warm.
I know. Every time I looked over at you, you had your down hoodie on with the hood up, plus a beanie, plus your gloves. I mean, you were fully decked for winter in our trailer under the covers.
Yeah, I get cold at night.
I know you do. I think the best part of that trip was the morning we left and we got in the truck and cranked the heater and we headed to Death Valley, which was, of course, much warmer, as we've already discussed. And we saved the rest of our trip in Death Valley.
Yeah, for a while there, I had given up on life. But after the truck warmed up, I was feeling a little bit better. Another spring park is Saguaro. What? How do you pronounce it? Saguaro?
Have we learned nothing? Have we learned nothing?
Saguaro. Saguaro National Park in southern Arizona, just outside of Tucson.
Yeah. You know, you would think, and since it's in southern Arizona, that it would be warm enough in the winter to go. But we have seen quite a few photos of snow there in the winter. Mm. We've been there in the winter when we went to Chiricahua. I mean, it can be nice.
Yeah, you could have really nice winter days there. But if you really want some guarantee of good weather, spring would be the time to go.
Spring would definitely be the time to go. Another good spring park is Big Bend National Park in Texas.
I thought that would be on your fall list because you want to go to the chili cook-off in Terlingua.
It is actually on the fall list. So
it is on your fall list? I haven't read that far down in our notes.
I couldn't decide because I think they're actually both really great seasons to go. You know, summer is way too hot. Winter can be too cold. I think spring or fall are fantastic. So I put them on both.
Big Ben. We'll talk about that again a little bit later when we get to the fall.
We will.
How about Gateway Arch? You know, we went there in May, springtime. And yeah. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. So Gateway Arch in St. Louis is a park you could visit all year round. But I have to say that when we went in May, all of the walking paths and all of the landscaping outside, you know, there were flowers blooming and the grass was green. It was absolutely beautiful in May. So that's why I randomly put it in spring.
Yeah, good time to get photographs of the arch itself.
Absolutely. Now, because you're inside the building and then hopefully you're going up to the top of the arch, you could do it year-round, right?
If you're there to explore the inside of the arch, yeah, you go there any time of year.
Right. But if you want to spend time on the outside part of the park, which is really great, then spring is the time to go, or fall.
You know, another park that I think would be good in spring is Great Sand Dunes in Southern Colorado.
Yes, we went in July.
Yeah, it was a little warm.
And we were stupid. We hiked up the highest sand dune in the afternoon.
Yeah, so, 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the heat of the day. And really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Would not recommend that to anybody. It was blistering hot, both the sand and the outside temperature. It was not enjoyable at all.
In that park, they have some mountainous hikes, but also there's a creek there that flows between the visitor center and where the dunes start that flows pretty heavily in the springtime, April through early June. And I know that that's a fun thing that people go there and families, they bring their beach chairs and play in the creek.
Yeah, and I guess the flow can get pretty fast and they ride the waves. We've seen photos. It looks really fun. Now, obviously, this is also a crowded time, especially on the weekends, because everybody wants to go and do that. But I do think that would be fun. There, when we were there in July, the creek had completely dried up. There was no more creek. But I think spring would be optimal.
Yep.
Okay, now I also have all 5 Utah parks listed in the spring, but spoiler alert, they're in the fall as well. So we're talking about the 5 national parks in Utah, which are Arches, Canyonlands, Zion, Bryce Canyon, and Capitol Reef.
And we've been there multiple times in March and have had just incredibly fantastic weather. Mm-hmm. But every now and then, you can get snow. This last March we went and it snowed on us.
It snowed everywhere on us. It snowed in Canyonlands. It snowed in Bear's Ears. It snowed in Zion. I will say also that the years we've gone in March and it hasn't snowed on us, the temperature at night drops down to what, like 30 degrees. We tried to camp out and it was just way too cold. So when I say spring, I would say April.
Yeah, or daytime activities, because even March, when the temperatures are low at night, during the day they can warm up and you just have spectacular weather days.
Right. It is a great spring break destination for a reason. Okay, and let's see. We also have in spring, we have Badlands National Park in South Dakota.
Yeah, that's a fantastic park. Again, can get pretty hot in midsummer, but springtime is great. A lot of wildflowers. Mm-hmm. We've been there. We went twice this last spring.
We did.
to the Badlands.
Twice in May.
Got good recordings of bird calls. Oh, and did some hikes when the temperatures weren't too hot.
So moving all the way to the east over to Congaree National Park, which is in South Carolina, we have that in spring because it is a humid subtropical climate. And summers, I think, would be brutal. Also in the spring, they have their Firefly Festival. That's in May. Now, we have not been to that. That's another thing on my bucket list. I would love to see.
You have the Firefly Festival in your wish bucket. Is that right? Could I see the bucket before we plan the next trip? I'd like to.
You don't want to go see them? I guess they all come out.
No, I just like to know what's in the bucket, because I think sometimes items fall in the bucket before they're fully approved.
Well, unfortunately, if we want to go see the Firefly Festival in May, the National Park Service has gone to a lottery system.
Oh, it's that popular, tickets. Huh? Okay.
Yeah, well, I think part of it has to do with COVID. I think they want to limit the crowd. So I don't know if it will always be on a lottery system, but I think we'll have to start submitting that. Our trip to Congaree, we were there in April, did a really fun canoe tour with a ranger, and the weather was great. And
yeah, that was a great time to go. Mm-hmm,
it was
yeah,
beautiful.
So spring's good for Congaree.
That's right. Spring is also good for Pinnacles National Park in California.
Yeah, kind of central California, fairly close to the coast. Beautiful park. Spring wildflowers, temperatures are fairly mild. Again, they can get extreme in the summer there.
Mm-hmm. We went in the spring, had no idea about the wildflowers, and they were beautiful, and it was very green. Yeah, absolutely beautiful park.
A lot of pollinators in that park,
yes.
we learned. But they don't bother you if you don't bother them. A lot of bees.
Are you ready to move on to summer?
I am ready to move on to summer.
Okay. Let's talk about the high elevation parks first.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay, now we've said this in numerous podcast episodes, but for these parks that are at high elevation, many of the park roads don't open until early July because there is so much snow, and many of the trails in the parks are snow covered until July. So when we're talking about summer, we're not talking about June.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people who either read our books or listen to the podcast that might be, let's say, in the Midwest, and summer could start, you know, mid-April there.
Right.
Just know that some of these elevations, like June is not summer in the mountains, especially in some of these parks. So maybe not the best. And this is why we travel so much in July, August, September, because there's a lot of these places we like to go to. It's the only time we can go where the roads are clear and there's no snow on the trails that we want to go. Parks like Glacier, Mount Rainier, North Cascades, Lassen, Rocky Mountain, Sequoia, Kings, Crater Lake. These are all great parks to visit, but I would wait till July or later to go. And then, of course, got to get there quick because it's going to start snowing again, sometimes as early as mid-September.
That's right. You could go in June, but a lot of the roads don't fully open until July, so you will miss part of the parks if you go in June. So just an FYI on that. But those are all premier parks to visit in the summer. Let's talk about the big one, Yosemite. We have that listed in summer too. Now, I know that's when the crowds descend, is summertime. They have gone to a reservation system. We haven't been there since that has been in effect. So I'm guessing that's keeping the crowds down because they have limited to a certain number of people every day.
I know when we visited that park, that Tuolumne Meadows area was one of our favorite areas. The entire park's fantastic, but the Tuolumne Meadows area was a little less crowded.
Right. Now that is up high. That's not in Yosemite Valley. That's at 8,600 feet. They get a tremendous amount of snow. And that Tioga Road that takes you to Tuolumne Meadows is only open in the summer and the early fall. So if you want to see that, you need to be visiting in the summer.
I think the same thing goes for the Glacier Point Road.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful overlook because you drive up to the top of Glacier Point Road and you can look down into Yosemite Valley and look across at Half Dome. So that's a beautiful area, but the road's only going to be open when it's cleared of winter snow.
On our first visit, we went in September and it was a beautiful time to go. I think the only downside was that the famous waterfalls were not flowing very much at all. And our second time, we went in March one year because we were speaking at a ranger conference in Yosemite. And, you know, we went into the valley. We were hoping to do a hike, and there just wasn't much to do. We talked to a ranger, and really, there was a little bit of snow, but nothing was accessible yet.
Yeah, it's a beautiful park at that time of year, but it's early spring, mid-spring. It's still feels like winter. Things aren't fully open or accessible, so that's why we put it as a summer park.
Right. I think if you want to take photos, if that's your main goal, then winter would be gorgeous, especially if you could catch it in the snow. But if you want to hike and if you want to see all the areas of the park, then summer is when you should go.
We have a long list of summer parks, so let's keep going.
Okay.
The Alaska parks, Denali, Kenai Fjords, Glacier Bay, Katmai, Wrangell-St. Elias, Lake Clark, Kobuk Valley, Gates of the Arctic, all of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are summertime parks. It's not that you couldn't do things there in the winter, but you really want to do those in the summer.
Absolutely. Because of the weather, because of the long days, and because of a lot of the tours that you'll want to do and the small plane flights that you'll have to take, they are definitely summer parks. Let's talk about another island park. This one, however, isn't tropical and you can't visit it in the winter. Isle Royale, which is the only national park that closes in the winter. It's open from April 16th to October 31st.
Yeah, and it's actually in the state of Michigan, but right in the middle of Lake Superior. And it can be pretty brutal up there in the winter, so they close it in the winter. So summertime is when you want to go there.
Right, and there are several different boat tours that you can take to get up to the island, and those only run in the summer as well. So that is when you want to visit Isle Royale.
And staying up north, and we did these two parks together when we visited all the national parks, Voyageurs, which is on the northern border of Minnesota. We did that on the same trip we visited Isle Royale. Voyageurs is a great summer park because you can actually get out on the lake. We took a ranger-led boat tour that took us through the park.
Yeah, Voyageurs has 500 islands, 655 miles of shoreline, and 218,000 acres of land and water. And I think the best way to see it is by boat. So summer, summer, summer for Voyageurs.
Now, changing geographies completely, Channel Islands in California, in Southern California, just kind of actually outside the metropolitan area of Los Angeles, it's a great summer park to visit.
There are five islands that make up the national park. And in the summer, you can go sailing, snorkeling, kayaking, swimming, whale watching, all kinds of things. Now, when we went at the end of September.
Right.
And the weather was fantastic.
Right. And there are some good hikes there. Just be careful in the summer because it can get very warm on those trails in the summertime. So, you know the forecast, take water, cover up.
I will say when we went at the end of September, everything was very brown. I look back at our pictures and the landscape that we're walking through is just nothing but brown. And I've seen photos from months earlier where it's green and beautiful and it looked like a different park. So if I were doing it again, which, you know, maybe one day we will, I'd go in June.
Yeah.
I think the landscape is much prettier.
Yeah, late spring or early summer is probably best there.
That's right.
So how about Indiana Dunes?
That's one of the newer national parks, Indiana Dunes.
Yeah, it's really kind of a three-season park, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I would definitely say. So Indiana Dunes is not far from Chicago.
Gosh, right.
I think maybe it took us an hour to get there, so when we drove. But one thing that people love to do when they go to this park is to go to the beaches. They have a lot of beaches in the park. So if that's your thing, then you want to go in the summer. But as far as like if you're going to hike the sand dunes, which is what we did, you know, spring or fall would probably be better because it's not going to be as hot.
Yeah, like we said, it's probably a good three-season park.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So Black Canyon of the Gunnison in Colorado, that's a park that's at elevation. So summertime is probably your best bet to have clear driving conditions there. But it's a beautiful park to look over the rim of the canyon.
Mm-hmm. Lots of viewpoints.
Yeah.
So Black Canyon of the Gunnison has a south rim and a north rim. The north rim area is closed in the winter, and the south rim main road is closed November through April. So definitely a summertime park.
And finally, also in Colorado, is Mesa Verde. Mm-hmm. And now most of the things to see in Mesa Verde require a tour. A ranger-led tour. I think there's one or two places that you can go kind of on your own, but not much, really. They want you to be on a ranger-led tour.
Yeah, the ranger-led tours of these ancestral Puebloan cliff ruins are only available in the summer. So that's definitely the time you want to go.
And as we found out, there are also special tours offered a few times a week throughout the summer to more remote cliff ruins, and they limit the number of visitors to a dozen or so per tour.
And if you're interested in these tours, you'll want to get on the Mesa Verde website for more information about buying tickets ahead of time. All right, it is time to move on to fall. So once again, on our fall list, I have all five Utah parks because fall is just a great time to visit those. I don't think we need to go into it anymore.
No, Southern Utah is a great place to visit, I think, all year round, but spring and fall are fantastic there.
That's right.
But if you want fall colors, we could go east. Up to the northeast, you got Acadia, you got Shenandoah, and further south, you got the Great Smoky Mountains. Fantastic color watching parks.
Exactly.
Leaf peeping.
Leaf peeping, fall foliage, whatever you want to call it. Great parks for the fall because not only do you have that, but you have cooler temperatures for hiking. Now, the downside is this is a popular time to go, so you'll want to make your travel plans early. All three of these parks have scenic drives and great hiking trails.
And another fall park that we have on our list is Cuyahoga Valley. Now, we probably could have planned our trip to Cuyahoga Valley National Park better. We went early July when it was super hot. So I think fall would be a better time to go.
Well, definitely. So Cuyahoga Valley is in Ohio, just south of Cleveland. And when we went, we had been visiting our friends Bob and Sue in Michigan because their daughter was getting married over a weekend. And we drove from there to Cuyahoga Valley. And our plan was to visit it on Monday and Tuesday. But this was one of the first parks that we ever visited during our tour. And
A lot of rookie mistakes.
We did not research. We did not plan like we should have. And much to my disappointment, the one thing I wanted to do in the park was to ride the Cuyahoga Valley Scenic Railroad. And guess what? They don't run the train on Mondays and Tuesdays.
People train don't run on Mondays. So
I was so disappointed. That is the only thing I wanted to do in the park.
It's been 11 years since that disappointment, and you're still speaking about it.
I
hear about this often.
I know. I can't get over it. Yeah. I'm still not over it.
Yeah.
Also, the other reason that this park is great to visit in the fall is because this scenic railroad offers what they call ales on rails, which is where you get to drink beer on the train.
And that's what I wanted to do. That's the only thing I wanted to do.
I know. They have a specific one that's Oktoberfest. And for all of you wine drinkers out there, they have a special train event called Grape Escape, and that's where you do wine tasting on the train. So we are definitely going back, and we're gonna do some of those train events.
Yeah, we'll plan that for the fall. Maybe not this fall, but a fall.
Definitely.
But another national park, Guadalupe Mountains in Texas, in West Texas. We've been there a couple times, but we went there in the fall on our first visit, and I thought that was a great time because the temps were a little bit cooler, but also we hiked in McKittrick Canyon and the colors were great.
Yeah, incredibly beautiful fall colors, which we weren't expecting in this desert environment in Texas of Guadalupe Mountains. You know, it's a very, very rocky, deserty looking park, but all of a sudden we go back in this canyon and there are reds and oranges and yellows, and it was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, that was a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And not too far away from Guadalupe Mountains is White Sands in southern New Mexico. And that would also be a great fall park to visit.
That's right. The summer is brutally hot. The springtime, a lot of people do go in the spring. Spring can be windy. I think your optimal time to go to White Sands, especially if you want to hike on those dunes, is the fall.
Well, moving back towards the center of the country, Teddy Roosevelt National Park in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. We've been there in the spring. We've been there in the fall. Fall's a great time. One reason is there's no ticks in the fall.
I was just going to say.
Like there is in the spring. So
we had a bad tick incident when we were there in April.
In April. And they're all, the summer heat kills off the ticks. So by fall, it's a beautiful place. And there also, you'll see incredible fall colors.
Right. And it just seems like a fall park, right? You go on that darling scenic road and the bison are out and, you know, the leaves are starting to change colors. I don't know. It seems to me like the perfect place to go in the fall.
Yeah. And I see on our notes here, you also have a repeat. You have Badlands National Park in South Dakota as a fall park.
That's right. It's showing up twice. Badlands, yeah. What can I say? It's great in the spring and the fall. So I cheated. I put it on twice.
Yeah. Now, what about Yellowstone? Yellowstone's a good fall park to visit.
Mm-hmm. It is because the crowds are so much less. Most people go in the summertime. If you can wait till the fall, you don't have as many traffic jams, you have fewer people, and you still have, you can still access the entire park. So I think fall is a great time to go.
Yeah, I like Yellowstone at any time of the year, but just word of caution, even in the fall, like you could get snow. You could get snow any month.
Sure.
In Yellowstone. So know that that's a possibility. But yeah, fall's a great time to visit Yellowstone.
Now, Big Bend, as we mentioned before, that was in our spring list as well. But if you had to choose, I would choose fall because...
The first weekend of November, usually, you have to check the website. In the little town of Terlingua, right west of the park, they have the Terlingua International Chili Championship.
That's right.
And we missed it by a week, but that would be great to visit while you're visiting the park. Go to the chili contest.
Yeah, that's in the bucket. Moving northwest to Nevada, the only national park in Nevada is Great Basin National Park. That is on our early fall list because this park surprisingly has some great fall foliage as well. We went at the end of September and it was beautiful, remember?
It was beautiful because what we wanted to do, the two things we wanted to do in that park were to hike to the only glacier in the state of Nevada, which is up at the end of the park road. And also to see the bristlecone pine trees. And so there was a trail up there that we took. We were able to see both of those. And as you drive up in elevation from the visitor center up, you essentially drive through the seasons.
Right.
And so the aspen trees were turning and it was
gold,
absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Those aspen trees, the leaves were gold. It was stunning to see those white trunks and the gold leaves. Absolutely beautiful. And the day was warm and sunny, so I think fall is a great time to go. Now, this next park we have not been to yet, New River Gorge in the great state of West Virginia, the newest national park, number 63.
And we do have a trip planned there fairly soon. Mm-hmm. We're going to go see this in the fall, and we would imagine, haven't been there yet, but the fall foliage is fantastic. They also have a festival. Are we going to be there during the festival, the Bridge Day?
Well, we are, but I think we're leaving that day because we didn't realize that the crowds are going to be coming
in. Our thing is to kind of miss crowds anyway.
Right.
But they have Bridge Day usually in the middle of October, which is a great festival.
So apparently there are hundreds of base jumpers who come from all over to legally base jump 876 feet off the New River Gorge Bridge into the gorge below. It's also the only day that you can walk across the bridge. It's a big festival. Thousands and thousands flock to
that. We won't be doing that.
Nope. We won't be jumping off the bridge or flocking to the festival.
No. But we'll see the park, have a great visit, and then leave before the masses of visitors show up.
That's right. But I'm excited to see the 63rd National Park and check that off the list.
That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. One more on our fall park list, which is Petrified Forest in Arizona, kind of northeastern Arizona. We've only visited that park once, and I really enjoyed our visit.
I did too. You could visit Petrified Forest in many different seasons, but in the fall, you have less people, you have less precipitation, and you have milder temperatures. So I think the fall is ideal to visit Petrified Forest.
So that's our fall list Even though we've covered all four seasons, the list isn't done yet, is it, Karen?
It's not. We have a few that really are year-round parks. So let's just talk about, there's a few on the list. Redwood National Park in Northern California. We have been there in January and April and September, and we've hiked all of those months.
Yeah, and I don't remember the difference between any of those. They all seem the same. So I think you're right. Northern California there, up against the coast.
It's very mild. It seemed like every time we're there, it's in the 50s and 60s and kind of misty and just a very temperate climate. And anytime is good to see those giant trees.
Right.
So that's on our year-round list. Also, one of our favorites in our home state is Olympic National Park.
And not because it's the same all year round. It's different in the different seasons. And there are so many things to do in each season. Hurricane Ridge, which is at the top of the park. There's a road that goes up there. And we've been up there both in the summertime and the winter. In the winter, it's fantastic snowshoeing.
Oh my gosh, they get a lot of snow up there. It's absolutely beautiful. And then you can go all the way down to the coast, which is fairly mild all year round, although you get a lot of storms that come in. And then, of course, there are two rainforests in Olympic. There's the Ho and the Quinault. Those are kind of temperate all year round. So we go to Olympic all the time.
Yeah, I'd like to go sometime and storm watch, maybe at like Claylock Lodge there on the coast and watch the storms roll in. Yeah, so that's a great all year round park. Another all year round park is Hot Springs National Park in Arkansas.
That's
and
right.
When we went there, we visited the bathhouses, and the bathhouses are open all year round. So it's an inside thing.
Right. And they also have the only brewery that's inside a national park.
And I'm a little disappointed here because it wasn't open when we were there. I think it was just in the planning stages. So 11 years later, I'm still...
You still haven't gotten over that one yet.
No, I haven't.
See how I feel about the train?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it kind of hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah, some of those mistakes we made on our early visits to the park, we need to erase by going back.
For sure.
A brewery in a national park.
I know.
What could be better?
Nothing. Well, except possibly the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Maybe the Grand Canyon's better. Of course.
And you've got this in our year-round park list, the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, because we have been there year-round. Now, July and August are the hottest, the rainiest, and the busiest. And of course, it can snow in the winter. I'd love to see it with snow on it.
Yeah, I would too. I would agree. The view of the canyon, especially from the south rim, it would be spectacular in the snow.
That's right. Now, just a note, if you also wanted to visit the north rim, which is the least visited part of the park, the north rim is closed in the winter. The high season for north rim is May 15th through October 15th when the lodge is open and the road is open.
And it can be snowier there because it's 1,000 feet higher in elevation than the south rim. So that's why it's closed. And so that's it for our park list.
But Matt,
what?
There's something we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah, I know.
My favorite. I saved it for last.
All year round, you could go to caves, Karen. Did you know that?
The three national park caves. So very briefly, let's talk about first my favorite, Carlsbad Caverns, which is in New Mexico. So here's the thing. All of these caves, the three national park caves, are the same temperature inside the cave all year round. They are between 54 and 56 degrees. So it really doesn't matter what time of year you visit the park, unless you want to see some other parks that are close by. And that's when you're going to have to look at the schedule.
Right. Word of warning, when it's 100 degrees outside, it is still 54 to 56 in the cave. So bring a jacket if you're going there in the middle of summer.
So I'm going to say fall is the best time to visit Carlsbad because you're going to want to add on Guadalupe Mountains National Park. It's what, an hour away? I mean, you wouldn't go all the way there without seeing both of them. And as we said, fall is the best time for Guadalupe Mountains. So I'm just going to go ahead and recommend fall for Carlsbad.
Yeah, just one note on that though. The bats, if you want to see the bat flight program, the bats leave Carlsbad and migrate south sometime mid-October, and they don't really know the exact date. So just so you know, if you want to see that and you're going in October, the bats could be gone.
Now you have Wind Cave in South Dakota, and I put on Wind Cave summer and fall because you're going to want to visit all the other park units that are close by.
Right. It's the whole Black Hills, Badlands area is fantastic. So many things to do. If you're going to go to Wind Cave, you're going to go to a lot of the other places to visit in the Black Hills area.
Definitely. And the third cave is Mammoth Cave in Kentucky.
It's busy in the summer. And so really, you know, you could go there in the winter where the crowds are less. And when you're in the cave, it's going to be the same temperature. So if you want to avoid the crowds, maybe that's the time to go.
Exactly. Now, there are some trails to hike in Mammoth. So if you also want to hike, then spring and fall are the best. But really, Mammoth is another year-round park.
Right.
And I think that's all of them. I think we covered everything.
We covered
all four
every
seasons
park
and our, every park.
Yeah, I hope everyone picked up a tip or two in this episode about which parks to go to or which times of the year.
And as we said at the beginning, check out different seasons in different parks, because sometimes the off season or the off season is the absolute best time to go.
Absolutely. If you'd like to know more about what to expect in the parks in the various seasons, check out our three Dear Bob and Sue books. You can read about our travels to the national parks and other public lands during every season, where we experienced everything from spring snowstorms in Yellowstone to record rainfall and floods in Alaska in August. All of our books are available on Amazon.com.
And if you'd like to follow our current travels, you can find us on Instagram at Matt and Karen Smith, on Twitter at Matt and Karen, and on Facebook at Dear Bob and S. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in today.
And Karen, next week, I'm going to review a piece of gear, something that doesn't have to do with pee.
I cannot wait for that one.